The Amazon order came in at 4:57 in the morning. Tarps, a drop cloth, cleaning supplies. The kind of order that means something different at 4:57 in the morning than it does at 4:57 in the afternoon. And when investigators eventually pulled the digital receipt, the timestamp did not just tell them what Brian Walshy bought. It told them where he was, what he was doing, and how far the situation had already gone. The evidence in the Anna Walsh case is the kind that stays with you. Not because it is gruesome, though it is, but because of what it reveals about the gap between what a person believes they are doing and what they are actually doing. Brian Walsh believed he was covering his tracks. What he was actually doing was creating the most detailed forensic record of a crime that Massachusetts investigators had seen in years. Anna Walshy was 39 years old. She was a real estate professional and entrepreneur based in Washington, D.C., who had recently relocated with her family to Cohasset, a coastal town on the south shore of Massachusetts. She had three young children. She had also, according to multiple sources, been in the process of exploring a separation from her husband. She was reported missing by her employer on January 4, 2023, when she failed to show up for work and stopped responding to messages. By that point, she had been dead for 3 days. Brian Walshy is 47 years old, a real estate developer with a federal fraud conviction on his record. He had pleaded guilty in 2021 to selling fake Andy Warhol prints and was awaiting sentencing at the time of Anna's death. He was under a court-ordered ankle monitor for that fraud case when Anna disappeared. The ankle monitor was supposed to limit his movement. It was not monitoring the basement. On New Year's Day 2023, something happened in the basement of the family's rented home on Jerusalem Road in Cohasset. The Ring camera at the front door did not capture it. What it did capture was Brian Walshy's movements in and out of the property in the hours that followed. Investigators would later describe what they found in that basement as a crime scene that had been the subject of sustained and deliberate cleanup effort. The effort was not sufficient. The search history on Brian Walshy's phone and devices is the center of this case's forensic record. Beginning on January 1st, investigators found searches for how long before a body starts to smell, how to dispose of a body, how to stop a body from decomposing, and related queries. The searches are time-stamped. They are sequential. They form a timeline that tracks with what investigators believe happened in that basement. At 4:57 in the morning on January 2nd, the Amazon order is placed. Tarps, drop cloth, cleaning supplies, and a saw. The purchase is made from a device associated with Brian Walshy. The delivery address is in the area. The timestamps place this order in the hours after investigators believe Anna was killed. The saw is not for the tarps. Between January 2nd and January 8th, Brian Walshy makes multiple trips to a trash transfer station in Peabody, Massachusetts, approximately 30 miles from Cohasset. He uses trash bags. Multiple trips. He does not use his own car for all of them. He borrows his mother's vehicle for at least one trip. The transfer station receives waste from dozens of municipalities. The material he is disposing of does not make it through the facility without trace. On January 8th, an employee at the South Shore Recycling Cooperative, a trash transfer station in Norwell, notices something in the waste stream. The cooperative contacts law enforcement. What investigators find, processed through a facility that handles thousands of tons of residential waste, includes human remains, pieces of clothing identified as belonging to Anna Walshy, and biological material that DNA analysis would later confirm as Anna's. Her eye is recovered in that facility. The identification is confirmed. When investigators execute a search warrant at the Cohasset property, they find blood in the basement. They find cleaning materials consistent with the Amazon order. They find a hacksaw. They find what the search warrant application later describes as human tissue on the basement stairs. They find the basement freezer has been cleaned, but not well enough. They find embedded in the walls and floor the kind of biological trace that cleaning alone cannot remove. Brian Walshy is arrested on January 8th, initially on a charge of misleading investigators. He told police he had last seen Anna alive on New Year's morning. He is charged with murder on January 18th after the forensic evidence reaches a threshold investigators and prosecutors are prepared to present. The trial begins in late October 2023. The prosecution's case is structured around the digital evidence trail, the search history, the Amazon purchase timestamps, the Ring camera footage, the cell tower pings that place Walshy's phone at or near the Norwell transfer station during the documented disposal trips, the DNA from the remains recovered at multiple sites. The defense argues that the evidence is circumstantial and that the prosecution cannot definitively establish the specific mechanics of Anna's death. The prosecution counters that the combination of digital evidence, forensic biology, and the documented disposal effort establishes the case beyond the standard required. The jury deliberates for less than 8 hours. On November 8, 2023, Brian Walshy is convicted of first-degree murder. He is sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. There are things in this case that the verdict does not close. Anna Walshy had, according to reporting in court documents, been in a difficult marriage for some time. There were documented tensions. She had confided in friends about her situation. The question of whether the legal and social systems available to people in troubled marriages function in time, or function at all, is one that the evidence in this case raises without fully answering. Brian Walshy was on a court-ordered ankle monitor when Anna was killed. The monitor tracked his location within a defined range. It did not trigger an alert during the period investigators believe the crime occurred. The disposal effort was mounted, or the trash runs were made to Norwell. The monitoring was for his federal fraud case. It was not designed to protect Anna. The Amazon order placed at 4:57 in the morning is the detail that the case keeps returning to. Not because it is the most dramatic piece of evidence, the recovery of remains from a trash facility carries its own terrible weight, but because of what it represents. The act of going online and purchasing materials to cover up a murder, while the victim's family and employer are not yet aware she is missing, creates a documentary record at the moment of the attempt to destroy one. The effort to erase evidence becomes the evidence. The kids are 3, 4, and 6 years old. They are being raised by Anna's family. The house on Jerusalem Road is no longer occupied. The trash transfer station in Norwell processed the evidence that solved the case and could not be fully processed away. The question the record leaves you with is not about Brian Walsh. The verdict established what he did. The question it leaves you with is about the architecture of prevention, the ankle monitor, the documented marital situation, the systems that were nominally in place. Was there a moment at any point in the documented lead-up to January 1st, 2023, where a different intervention would have changed the outcome? And if there was, what does it mean that no one took it?